Psalms 103 tells us what he did. Through every time we say, "I don't believe in you, God," if you're there, show up. "I don't ever hear you. What have you done for me? Look where you've gotten me. Yeah, boy, God, I've believed, and here I am today." For every time we take his name in vain, every time a person curses that precious, holy name of God, every time they use Jesus in a way other than "you're my Savior," Psalms 103 tells us what he did for us. Through every struggle of addiction, adultery, fornication, lying, stealing, cheating, lusting, whatever it is that all of us at some point, even maybe today, right now, are going through or experiencing or battling, Psalms 103 tells us what Jesus did. If we ever could realize the love, the enormity of God's love, I mean the enormity of it, it far outweighs the love you have for your child. Think how much you love your child, your natural child. You would die for them, fight for them. Man, let somebody touch your child and see what happens. Dee and David are grown. David's a Marine, but let somebody pick on David and old Dot's crippled arthritis knees and be trying to do what he could to save him. "You leave my boy alone. I'll come after you." "Yeah, right, old man. Don't test me. I'm Marine. I got superpowers." You fight for your children. You die for your children. And no matter what happens to David or Dee, they were locked up in jail or strung out on drugs or in the gutter in a homeless shelter, whatever they were, he would be their father. And no matter what they were experiencing, it would not change the love he has for them. And Psalms 103 tells us of this great love we're going to read here in a minute. No matter where we are or where we find ourselves this moment in time, God's love, and I want somebody to hear this, God's love is not changed by your behavior. It's not changed by your, don't let people tell you that. God's love for you cannot be changed because you don't believe or because you rebel or because you curse God. He still loves you just the same, and he proved that at Calvary. Psalms 103 tells us this. If you would stand with me as we read the word, I want to read together standing. Need my Bible, Jeremy. Psalm 103, we're going to begin with verse 1. Nobody make fun of my specs. I have to have specs to see close up. So y'all look down at your Bible and read. Psalm 103, verse 1. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." His name is holy. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Skip to verse 8 with me. "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy." Skip to verse 10. "He hath not dealt with us after our sins." Can somebody say amen to that? "Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children," that means love or compassion, "so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children." Father, we ask your blessing on this service and on this word. Hearts are open and minds hear what you have to say. Let there be a fear among you, God, that we once again return to that reverent, respectful awe of who you are, understanding that our destiny is in your hands, Lord. We're not our own person, but only in you do we have this escape from death. We thank you and we praise you for this time. Bless this word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. As we could see, this is what God did for us in Psalms 103. This was prophesied some. Psalms, a very long book. And so some of it was written as early as 1,000 years before Christ, some 400 years before Christ. But hundreds of years before Jesus came, we see the Word of God saying what's going to happen. That God is going to remove your sins. That you're not going to be rewarded like you should be rewarded. Because I'm making a way. I love in the part where it says, we're going to go back through some of these, and I want to read all three. We're going to go back in a couple of verses I want to specify. In verse 3, it says, who forgiveth all of thy iniquities, who healeth all thy disease. There is nothing we can do, nothing you can do, that is unforgivable in the eyes of God. Do not let anyone deceive you with this teaching. There is people tell me, I've done too much, God wouldn't hear me no more. Understand, the Bible's clear that God hears us, but we have to fear him. Now that we have to come to him. We have to honor him. We have to respect him. We have to have an understanding that we can't save ourselves. We can't make it there on our own. There's no good in us enough to save us. It's through Jesus and the blood that forgives of all of our sins. Our iniquities mount up over the years, don't they? They just keep on mounting up. And we think that if we get through our teenage years, we're okay. But guess what? Sin follows you in your 20s. Can I get amen, Dave and D? Sin follows you in your 20s, don't it? And then sin follows you in your 30s. If you got any 30-somethings in here, Jeremy's a 30-something still. You're not 30-something no more. Yeah, you done crossed Jordan. 30-somethings. Sin follows you. Then we get to our 40s, all right? That's the age where got a lot of us have got kids kind of with some size on them, you know. We're settled, been married for a while, and we're in our 40s. We're supposed to be a mature, seasoned adult. But boy, sin follows in our 40s, don't it? Then we get our AARP card. Now we've arrived. I'm a senior citizen. And I've got all this wisdom and knowledge of years of experience on earth. And you know what? I have no more temptation. Man, I'm 55 and feeling alive. And I don't have no more. We have a lot of distractions. Still a lot of sin, a lot of problems. Drug addiction has no age limit. Sexual promiscuity has no age limit. Lust of the flesh has no age limit. The gambling spirit has no age limit. It doesn't matter. It's how it is. I was talking with someone this week that has been set free and delivered a drug addiction, but they didn't try any drugs. They was 31 years old. 31. Smoked pot for the first time at 31 years old. By 35, they were a cocaine addict. Now they're free of that. But 31, kind of odd, huh? Because we think of pot smokers being what age? Can anyone give any answers out here? What age, pot smokers? Young, yeah. 15, 14, 13, 12. Yeah. Not 31. And so we see that sin can follow us in every season of our lives. And then we get real old. And I won't point nobody out here this morning. But we get real old. And we think, okay, I'm too old to care. I've did that and done that, and I'm just too old to care. There's still temptation. There is still, you hear about people having affairs and getting divorced after being married 40 years now. You think after 40 years, you'd have it together, wouldn't you? But that old devil keeps coming. And so my whole point of tying that in is this, that Jesus forgave us of all of our iniquities. Not just for one season of our lives, but for all seasons of our lives. God covered the book. He covered our life. From my birth to my departure, I am covered by the blood of Jesus. My iniquities have been covered up because of the grace that he bestowed upon the cross. So that's what Jesus did for us. So when we're cursing or denying or rebelling or saying, God, you're not real, or God, what have you done for me? Or I love this one. I experienced this weekend with somebody. I don't know why God's doing this to me. Really? Church, I'm going to tell you, I can be just bold and honest. This isn't a very popular expression here. You're not going to probably like it. But that's a pretty cowardly expression. That's a cowardly way out. Why is God doing this to me? We bring most of our own affliction on, don't we? I hear people say, I got a speeding ticket on the way to work. Stupid cops, stupid pigs. I can't leave. All they got to do is sit around and try to get me. There's other, get me in trouble. How fast are you going? 65. What's the speed limit? 45. Okay, really? They're doing their job. Don't blame them. I don't know why God's put me in all this sickness and disease. I don't know why God, what have I done to you, God? What have I done? We just crumble. Here's what God did for you. Forgave you of all your iniquities. Healed you of all your diseases. Church, we had a spiritual disease we all were born with called sin. Spiritual disease. And there was no remedy for it. We can light all the candles and shout all day long and jump the pews and say and take communion 24 hours a day. And it wasn't enough to forgive us of our sins. That disease was still there. We went to the doctor every week. Yep, it's still there. Yeah, but I fasted for 7 days. It's still there. But I prayed in tongues for 3 weeks. It's still there. But I gave all my money away. It's still there. By the way, who'd you give it to? It's still there. I mean, he can't fix that kind of sickness. But Jesus fixed it. Because no longer are we sick with the nature of sin, but we're healed with the nature of grace. That's what he did for us. Then he goes on in verse 4 to say, who redeemeth our life from destruction. He has bought us back. Redemption means to buy back. The devil was the prince of this world, power of the air. And we were all under his rule because of sin. But Jesus came at Calvary to destroy that enemy and buy us back. And now we are the property of Christ. We are no longer have to worry about being destroyed. Ever. I mean ever. Because of what Jesus did. He redeemed us from destruction. We were on a path, a meeting, an appointment of destruction. Jesus stepped in and says, Nope, I'm buying you back. You don't have to go to hell and be lost. You don't have to be tormented. You don't have to be destroyed. Ever. Because I'm redeeming you back. Verse 5, he satisfies our mouth with good things. We have a world that has an appetite that wants to fill it with stuff that doesn't work. We tell people this. You tell your kids this. You tell your friends this. Why are you living that way? It's not going to satisfy you. You just keep staying hungry and hungry and hungry because you're not satisfying your appetite with the right things. The world doesn't have anything to offer you that's going to fill your appetite. Nothing. You want to still be growling and still searching for something more. Relationships don't feel it. Drugs don't feel it. Sex don't feel it. Partying don't feel it. The right job don't feel it. The only thing that fills the inner hunger of man is relationship with Jesus Christ, knowing I have the peace of God in me. It's the only thing. The reason people don't understand this is because their heart's not been changed to it. Church, our heart has to be changed. Our heart has to be changed to receive the things of God. It makes no sense to the carnal mind. But when we allow God to touch our heart, not our head, our heart. I don't care about how many people say, I've been saved. That doesn't matter to me. What I care about is people are saved. There's a big difference. It don't matter how many cards you fill out, I gave my heart. Did you really? Or did you make just some confession and keep living your life like you always lived it? See, salvation is a change. It's a heart change. Your desires change. Your appetite changes. The things you want change. You want to serve God. This is why my daughter at 18 has always been in the house of the Lord. We've never had to make her come to church. She wants to be here. You know why? Because her heart's been changed. Never had to make her. Not one time, I don't want to go. She's 18 and on her own. She wouldn't have to come to church anymore. At 18, she comes on her own. Because she loves the Lord. And she wants to be in the house of God. You missed a blessing Wednesday night, as my daughter sang. And the Lord moved upon her, and it was so precious to see the Holy Spirit upon her life and just breaking under his presence. It was so, I'm glad I saw that one last time before the old shuffle out to Greensboro. So thank you, God, for showing me that. But it's because her heart's been changed. Because she opened up and said, Lord, I need you. I know I need you. You gotta change this. There's a lot of folks, Christians here, but not Christians here. Jesus warned us of that, didn't he? Depart from me. I don't know who you are. Yeah, but I confessed you, but I don't know who you are. I wasn't in your heart. What's in our hearts, what we're going to produce in life. And that's why I always say, and I know nobody likes this, and churches ain't judgmental preaching, I'm just being honest. This, when we go around just swearing and cussing all the time, that's what's in our heart. Because when Jesus steps in, that'll come out. I don't care who you are, you can argue me all day long. If you heard me at Walmart on the next aisle, if you and Linda was in there shopping and heard me on the next aisle of Walmart, and I was F-bombing and GD-ing and blah, 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 what do you think they would think? Well, I'm saved. I'm sorry. I just got mad. I get mad, too. I get so mad at Bill, I want to wring his neck and tell you I about kicked him out of the house the other night. But I don't talk like that. You can get mad and not talk like that. It's what's in our heart. Same way with gossiping, right? Can't wait to tell a juicy story. We're on the phone, man, the minute service is over. Just like wildfire. It's what's in your heart. We'll keep our mouth shut. That's also what's in our heart. Our heart must be changed. And that's what Jesus came to do, to change our heart. This is why the law was fulfilled through Christ. The law told us, don't have adultery. But grace teaches us, I don't want to have adultery. The law says, don't take the name of the Lord God in vain. The law told us that. But grace teaches us, I have no desire to do that. Why do I take a name that saved me and abuse it? Why would I take that precious name and abuse something that redeemed me from destruction? So we have to be very careful to know what the truth of God's word is. Our heart. Church, I see a world, the heart's not been changed, man. We got to be going through the motions. Understand, my job as a minister is to preach the gospel of Jesus. And it's not to sugarcoat anything or to make people feel good about themselves. Really, my job is to make you understand without Christ, you are nobody. No hope, no future, no life. Nothing apart from Jesus Christ. It's not to sugarcoat it. I can be a good sugarcoater. I can be a good hind-end kisser. I can do that real well. I used to be in retail. I know how to do it. Everything can get promoted. You got to do some stuff. But you know what? When it comes to preaching the gospel, I want to be real. I don't want these young ladies sitting here and haunt me after they're gone. Why didn't you tell me, Pastor, that I had to have a heart change? I came to your church. I sat there in the seats. I sang the songs with you. I opened the Bible when you read. I believed that God was real. But you never told me I had to really change. Why, Pastor, did you not tell me that? Church, I'm responsible as a pastor. I'm responsible. I'm more responsible than any of y'all out there this morning to speak the truth. God holds me accountable if I'm a teacher of the gospel. And so, in order for us to be saved, really born again, really to be able to say, I've been forgiven, I've been redeemed from destruction, thank you, Jesus, we've got to allow him into our hearts to produce change. Not in our head, but in our heart. You judge somebody by their heart. You know, my wife has a wonderful heart in her. She always has a heart. She says the right things a lot. She says the wrong things a lot. But when she says the wrong things, her heart's still right. Because her heart's been changed. God wants this here. He wants the inside of us so much. So get serious with it. And if you don't play. You know, my uncle, I know where he's at. My uncle was a man of God. He was a lay minister, and he was a man of God. I know where he's at. But there are funerals I have done
that I didn't have that assurance. Or the family didn't know. Well, I really don't know. They didn't really talk about God, didn't go to church. That's hard. But when I do this service Tuesday for my Uncle Alan, we're going to have church up in here. We're going to celebrate where he is at. We're going to celebrate that appointment that he has now seen his faith in the face. He has met faith face to face. It's a wonderful thing. Do not be deceived in thinking you're saved because you believe in God in your head. God changes the heart. The next part of this verse, I want to expound on this a little bit. It says that your youth is renewed like the eagles. We see eagle mentioned many times in the Bible. Let me talk about an eagle just for a minute. An eagle's a very special creation. It's the largest of its species. It can live up to 70 years old. An eagle can. But something happens to an eagle when it gets in its 40s. It's always the 40s. When it gets in its 40s, it has to make a decision to go through a transformation process or die. So if it decides to, it wants to live longer, in its 40s, it flies high up in the mountains, gets by himself, and begins to do some work on itself. One thing that an eagle will do, by the time they're in their 40s, their talons have grown very long and very flexible, so it's hard for them to pick up prey anymore. Their beak has grown crooked and bent. And their feathers have gotten thick and ruffled and real sticky to their chest, which affects their flight. So what they do, they ascend to a mountain way up high, and they begin to beat their beak against rock until it plucks out. Think about you doing that to your nose till it plucks out. Then it plucks its talons out down to nothing, all that process. Then it takes, once his beak grows back, he then plucks all them feathers. I mean, think about this. Pulling the feathers out of their body so new, fresh feathers can grow. This process takes about 150 days. Then once that's over with, he takes his new flight. And they can live another 30 years after that process. I got thinking, this is what Jesus did for us. So that we could live forever, he went through a plucking, dying process. Plucked his beard out, nails in his hands and his feet, stripes up on his back, spit on, cussed on, blasphemed on, stripped of his dignity, stripped of his royalty, battered and beaten so that we could live forever. See, we're going to have strength again, church. We're all going to have strength again because of what Jesus did. We're going to be strong and we're going to take our heavenly flight off that mountaintop and soar forevermore in the presence of God. That's what Jesus did for us. And that's our hope. So next time you see an eagle, think about its life and what it has to battle in order to live, in order to survive. Verse 10, he had not dealt with us according to our iniquities, our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. That is wonderful news to know, that we don't get what we deserve because of what Jesus did. We should be getting the death sentence, but instead we get a life sentence in Christ because of Calvary, because of what he did. But we got a problem that I'm seeing in this generation so vividly. We have a form of religion with no power. No power. Patty cake religion with no power, with no conviction, with no authority, with no anointing. You can have all the good preaching, all the great music and all of that, but church, if the anointing of God is absent, there is no change in a person's life. Not spiritually, not really. It's superficial cosmetic surgery, but nothing on the inside changes. And we see people that have lost their fear of God. Man, we got a world walking around that just don't believe no more. Or don't push it on me, or I don't want to hear it. Or well, there's a lot of different truths, a lot of different gods, and a lot of different this. And how, you know, we hear all of that. And we got people that have no reverence for the house of God anymore, the assembly of the saints anymore. How they talk around other people anymore. Just no fear of what they say anymore or how they live anymore. We've lost that fear, that reverent respect and awe of who God is. And it's time we return to that and realize without Him, church, we're dead. And we're lost forever. My heart doesn't beat because science made me that way. My heart beats because God made me that way. I'm not protected on the interstate just because of chance and because of my great driving. I'm protected because the hand of God is on me. God is in everything, church. We can't dissect Him out of our lives. We can't separate, here's my life, and God, that's your life, but I'm living my life outside of you. It's impossible. We saw the video. He made us. Our heart's in His hands. We're forever changed because of Him. We're forever alive because of Him. Our heart beats because of Him. I woke up because of Him. I'll lie down because of Him. I'm here and alive and breathing because of Him. The sun stands because of Him. The stars shine because of Him. The ocean rolls because of Him. The mountains are at tension because of Him. The wind blows because of Him. And the clouds are formed because of Him. There is nothing that's done without the hand of God being involved in it. Nothing. And we've lost that fear. Those clouds don't form because of scientific mythology and because of, sure, there's weather patterns. Who's in charge? God. I mean, it all goes back to Him, and we've lost that fear. You know, even back in the Native American days, they had enough sense. They didn't maybe understand full truth, but they had enough sense to recognize there were gods bigger than them. The sun god, the moon god, the wind god. They had all these different gods, and they recognized there was something bigger than them in control of those things. We, of course, as Christians, know there's one God in control of all things. And as we fear God again, as we reverent ourselves to God again, He'll hear us, and He'll answer. We can't have, church, we can't have a flip attitude with God. Oh, well, God, if you real, just strike me down. You better be careful what you say. We can't disrespect God like that. We should honor God, reverent God, respect God. I mean, we've lost that fearing God part. And we want a feel good, let me live my life, leave me alone, no accountability kind of preaching. And church is not right. I've said many times, my kids, two of them are about grown. One of them really is grown, I guess, legally. And once they're out there, I can't control what they do. But you know what? If I know they're in sin, I call it like it is. Whoever it is, my daughter or my son or my other daughter, you're in sin. What are you doing? You know, it was so refreshing. I was at the Y working out on one of the machines, and man, I was soaking wet, sweaty. I was soaked, boy, on that machine. And I was talking to a young lady out there. She came up and spoke to me. We was talking. I was sitting there just when she's talking. And she's going to Charleston this weekend. And so we got talking, and I said, she's got married about a year ago. Young lady, 24 years old. I said, you've been to Charleston before? I said, me and my husband are going. I said, y'all been before? I said, no. I said, we went last year, but we made it a day trip. I said, what's up? That's pushing it to go in there one day and back. You know what she said? My heart just melted. She said, we wasn't married, and so we wouldn't go down there and stay. So we just had to go for a day and come back home. I said, I want to do it right. I said, young lady, God is going to bless your relationship and your marriage. I don't hear that from nobody anymore. Nobody. 24 or 44. Nobody. Come to find out she is a Christian, showing where she went to church at, and it was just so refreshing that she had enough integrity to go for a day and come back and not stay down there. Church, we don't think nothing of that no more. Nothing. And I don't want to get tied off on this. This is, and Georgianne, you've been out a few weeks, and this is kind of where God's had me for a few weeks, and I'm talking about sin. and a lot of people don't like it. But the reality of it is that we just can't do what we want to do with no regard to what God thinks. That's not right. Grace doesn't teach us that. Grace teaches God, you forgave me of all of my sins. Thank you. I don't deserve death. I'm not going to hell. Thank you. And so, God, I want to serve you and follow you and live for you because of what you did for me. Not the other way around. But we've lost that structure in our society, that moral compass. We've lost it. People have gotten mad at me, and I don't care. I'll say it over and over and over because it's wrong. And it's not just this, but a lot of other things are wrong, we know. But people have left this church because I have publicly said that gays should not be married. And they've left the church. Who cares? I mean, really? That's where your heart needs to be changed. Because I'm going to tell you, in church, I have it in my own family. I know I got people I love that are gay. All parts of my family. Every one of you probably has somebody in your family that you know is gay. But you know what? It doesn't mean it's right. And it doesn't mean we just say, oh, that's okay. Just keep doing that and, you know, come on, that's okay, Bob. You can date Jim and Frank and Tony and just do what you want. It's a free world. I don't want to hear nothing about it. Do what you want to do, man. Live, dude, live, man. Ride the train, bro. We've got, and what scares me is my children's generation. Oh, my gosh, man. There is no hardly moral compass anymore. Kids are having, everybody is pretty old. Kids are having sex at 13 and 14. That's common now. Common. Giving themselves away and don't even know what they're doing. Don't have a clue what they're doing. Don't know what intimacy is. You can be more intimate holding your girlfriend or wife's hand than anything you can do in the bedroom. That's intimacy. Looking in their eyes and just being with them. Just holding them. Just laughing with them. Do you know that's intimacy? Laughing with your spouse. Crying with your spouse. Watching a movie and a bag of popcorn is intimacy. Even going to the mall and splitting off. But you're in the same mall together. That's intimacy. Because you're still with them. Because I care nothing about going where she wants to go. And vice versa. I'm in the sports stores and she's in the clothing stores. I don't care. Or the food court. We have lost that. And we justified it. And we've made society feel... can I just be honest? Oh, this is going to offend people. I know it is. We've made society feel sorry for us because of our sins. Oh, bless their heart. Got all them babies and ain't married. Well, who did that? Who did that? I'm going to shoot you if you don't have that baby and sleep with that man. Nobody made you do that. Mm-mm. Well, I feel sorry for them because, you know, they... Look, we bring... Because we don't obey God's word, we bring these things in ourselves. We bring them. And it's sad. I hate to see when a 15-year-old child, has a baby. It changed the rest of their lives. And you love that child. You love that baby. And you have to move forward with that. I'm not saying you don't turn them away. You move forward. You love them. You embrace them. You get through it together. But boy, you're going the hard way around. Follow the word of God. Fear him. We don't fear him no more. We don't listen to that voice no more. We listen to our voice. We're like a dog in a dog food store or PetSmart. You know, you walk on a leash and they just see all this stuff. And we just go crazy. Ooh, that looks good. That looks good. That looks good. I've heard people tell me this. I'll sin today and ask forgiveness tomorrow. How ridiculous is that? And what seeds have you sown? It's important we fear God again and live. We've lost that fear and that reverence. Church, I know this is not really the direction I want to go this morning, but it's where it's going. And I don't want anybody to think, believe me, I got my own skeletons and my own issues I battle. I promise you. And I understand that. And I continually call on God to help me and to strengthen me and to forgive me. But we have a world that just doesn't even ask that, living their lives with no regard for a future judgment. No regard for tomorrow. No regard for what's going to happen to their lives. Church, we don't just die and worm away in the ground somewhere. We exist somewhere forevermore after this earth. we go on to live forevermore. There's a spiritual realm that we can't see with these eyes. And that's where our world is now. And that's where our, everywhere you go, school systems, government, leadership, businesses. I mean, it is ridiculous, the immorality trying to clutch on to say, you know what, it's about living your life the way you want to live it. I'm going to tell you something. Y'all have tried some of that, and you see where it's got you. Lead your life the way you want and see where you end up. We need a governing of God's presence. We need it. We'll make so many, you know, me and Jamie's talking the night, and he asked me, he said, Dad, do you ever try any drugs or drinking? I mean, do you ever do any of that? You know, we've talked before a little bit about that. And I said, no, I haven't. It's not that I'm that good, believe me. Because I'm telling you, church, I would be off the hook if God would let me. There ain't no doubt. I would be the life of the, I would be the one. I'm telling you. Because I like to have fun. And I'm not too, I can about do anything in front of anybody. I'm not too backward on that. I stood up at a Pizza Hut table when me and Melanie was dating over to Mall, Pizza Hut. Stood up in a chair in front of the whole restaurant. They had a love song playing. Started singing it to her. In front of the whole restaurant. James, get down. James, get down. Why didn't I try drugs? Why didn't I try alcohol? Why didn't I go to all the high school parties or any of the high school parties? Jamie asked because he's just bewildered. He goes, you never went to a high school party? No, I didn't. Because I knew what was there, and I knew I'd be in the middle of it, and I knew I would probably like it. And I didn't want to come home and look at my mama's eyes with, Jamie, how could you? That would have just, that would have been worse than anything. I couldn't sin. Every time I saw a pair of tight shorts, I saw mama's eyes. Oh, God. It just, and so, and I told Jamie, I said, son, the reason why is because I was truly saved and I had a heart change. And I didn't have a desire to do those things. I didn't have a desire. I knew that's not where I belonged. And I didn't have a desire to do those things. It was the presence of God's Holy Spirit that kept me in check through those tough years. And I used to argue with God. You've heard me say this. Church, I was 16 years old, I remember. And talking to God, I said, God, why can't you let me go? I feel like a nerd. Every time I want to do something, I'm right there getting ready to do it. And you step in and stop me every time. I feel that presence and that voice. No, son. Yes, God. No, son. I'd have that devil on one angel like Tom and Jerry, you know, and the angel on the other one. And that doggone angel would win every time. I couldn't ever get the devil to win. I wanted him to win. Come on. Come on, devil. No, James. And I hear a smaller voice. Go, James. No. The go was quiet and the no was loud. And I used to argue, God, I want to be normal, man. Can I not experience some normal? And I'd look back and thank God he kept me from making so many foolish mistakes that I would have made. And I give all credit to God, not because I was that good. I mean, some people are just like that. They got to try everything. I won't try that. I just knew I didn't want to try those things. It wasn't in my heart to try it. I mean, I was one of those people like Ashley. She don't do it anymore. She's grown up a little bit older. But we used to go to a restaurant a few years ago, and we'd be sitting somewhere, and Ashley would go, ooh, Daddy, they're smoking. Ooh. And I would say, ooh, Ashley, you're going to hell, aren't they? But see, it was in her heart to realize, that's not good. They shouldn't be smoking, Daddy. And that's what's in her heart. And I was just always, you know, kind of like that too. I was at a bus stop in middle school, 7th grade. I was still living with my parents. But I was in 7th grade. I don't remember if I told Mom or Dad this story or not. But I was at a bus stop up there. I had to walk a good ways to get there. I had to walk, you know, 2 miles in the snow barefoot. And once I got there, the bus would come. And I had a guy that I went to school with my whole life that was standing right beside me smoking a joint. And he had in his hand, he looked at me, says, hey, man, you want to hit? And y'all ever know that story? Yeah, I'm sure he did. I didn't tell you, I'm sure. But I'm standing there, and he offered it to me, and I said, no. And the bus pulled up, he threw it down, got on. There was a chance right there, see, for me to make a decision. And you know what? Because God was there and not the devil, it was actually a very easy decision to say no. That's not me, man. I don't want to do that. That same guy, as he grew up, got in quite a bit of trouble and has not had a, he might be okay now, but I know for a few years went through a really hard time in his life with different things. But we make choices. But my heart, see, had been changed by God. When your heart's changed, church, you don't do those things. It doesn't mean you can't slip and mess up. I'm not saying that. But you don't stay there. And you don't say, oh, well, we'll keep doing wrong. No. The word repent means to change your mind and to change your way, to change your direction. You go away from sin when you repent. So let me put it this way. When we have altar calls and we ask people who want to give their heart to Jesus and what, you know, people, whatever, you got to, as you're praying about that, you got to understand what salvation is. Salvation is you having a willingness to turn from your sin. And that's why many don't want to really commit. They don't want to turn from their sin. They want to get saved, so they can say they're saved. They want to feel the good feeling and feel good about themselves and get rid of their dirty conscience. But they don't want to really turn from sin. Salvation means you turn from your sin. It means you're willing. You come to the altar to kneel down. God, I'm willing to follow your will from this day forward and not my will no more. I'm willing, God, to turn away from sin and the life I've lived and follow a new life you have waiting on me. I'm ready to give up all the junk, all the world, all the stuff. I'm willing, God, I want to give it up and follow your will. That's what true repentance is. And that's hard for people to do because we don't want to let go. The devil doesn't let us let go of that very easy because we like it. Sin feels good to the flesh. I ain't going to lie to you. Sin feels great to the flesh. But you pay a great price for it. And it never satisfies. And eventually the buzz and the high, whatever you're involved in, runs out. And you've got to have more of it to get the same effect. And more of it and more of it. I tell a lot of couples this. And if you're in a relationship today and whatever, I want to tell you this. The foundation needs to be right if God's going to bless it. I promise you, I've seen it time and time again. The foundation has to be right. If you try to build on the wrong foundation, the house will fall. And you know what? When you do commit to someone, understand what you're doing. Had a person of the day call me, and they hadn't been married very long. I said, having some problems, and told them what was going on. I said, do you think I should leave? And I said, you know what? No. What you've told me is no justification you leaving that man. None. I'm not one that says people shouldn't leave. I believe in if abuse or a lot of infidelity, maybe if they don't change, or maybe a severe drug issue or something, whatever. But I said, you give me no reason. Mm-mm. Just because y'all aren't getting along and y'all are arguing, well, that's part. Guess what, buddy? Welcome to holy matrimony. That's going to happen. And I could tell they didn't like my answer. I've not seen them in a while either, actually. But I'm not going to give a license. Oh, yeah. Leave that skunk, that old, well, I don't want to say the word from the church, but you know what they call a bad one. Starts with a W. Leave that old he, you know what. Yeah, leave that old man. He hadn't done anything to justify breaking up a marriage. When you get married, you go through good and bad. The Bible says that. I mean, your vows say that. I'll go through it good, and we love the good. Oh, we're good. And the first time, you stay through it. Church, we all have bad times. But man, that's part of the covenant you've made. And so I've seen this moral compass in this generation with relationships and with marriage and with just living our lives and wanting to play church and be in church but not have any change of heart. Man, God wants to change us. God wants to change your heart. Church, we are going to be with Jesus forever or lost forever, according to the Bible. When truth comes to you and you reject it, you're accountable for it from that moment on. Once you know it. Once you know what truth is, you're accountable then to accept it. And that's what my job is as a minister, to proclaim the truth. Is there anyone here today that is thinking, man, I do want to change. I do want the right foundation. I do want a right life. You know, one thing, one couple I appreciate, I counseled several years ago. I ended up marrying them, but I going through counseling, they were living together when I counseled them. And I didn't say a word. I just said, well, so y'all are going to make it right, so we'll go through the counseling. And on their own, from that moment till they got married, they actually moved out and lived separately. They said they know they've already messed up and done all that, but they wanted to make it as right as they could. But they actually moved out during that time until they got married on their wedding day. And to me, I thought that was so commendable. They were doing what they could to make it as right as they could, because they realized how precious that really is and how special that is. You know, God, I think, knows what he's doing, don't he? When it comes to relationships and living this life, he knows what he's doing. He realizes how the truth just sets you free, like I said. It sets you free. But I want you to think this morning before we close this service. And Mel, come up here and pull that open door up. Don't do the video, though. If you're here this morning, church, and you are not fearing the Lord, you've lost that, or you never had it, or you know you're not where you should be, you're just playing. There is a day, church, all of us are going to face that final note in life, that final sound. And there'll be no other chance once we leave here. It's it. We have a choice here to make. I want everyone to know my heart. Y'all know me. I hope you love me, and I love each of you so much. It breaks my heart to know how some of you are living your lives, because I know. And it breaks me, because I want to see your life whole and complete and right in God. So I'm not up here with a judgmental message. I'm up here proclaiming the truth of God's word, that unless we allow him to change our heart, we're not going to change our lives. Would you bow your heads with me? Melanie, go ahead and sing. Yeah. Melanie's just going to sing a song. And church, if you want to come today and truly get saved, or truly get restored, or you're just way off, you're way away, you're hardened, you're bitter, you just know you're not where you're supposed to be. You're just living your life for yourselves and not surrendering to God's will for your life. You just need some closeness. You just need some intimacy again with God. As Melanie sings this song, just come up here to the altar. And I tell you what, I want to do something a little different this morning. If you do come up this morning, I want you to just stand up here if you would. Just stand. When the song is over, I want to pray a prayer over everyone that's up here this morning. I want to pray a prayer over the people that walk up here this morning. So if you come, I mean, you can bow if you want, but just remain up here until the song is over, and then we'll pray over the ones that are up here. So if that's you this morning, come while the door's open, while Jesus is calling. Thank you, Jesus.
In the things familiar, we find security. Resisting all the changes the days and years may bring. When God decides to lead you through an open door, inviting you to walk in realms you never known before. Beyond the open door is a new and fresh anointing.
You need something new this morning.
Hear the Spirit calling you to go. Walk on through the door, for the Lord will go before you. Into a greater power you never known before.
I'm not a high-pressure altar person like a lot of preachers, church. I let the Holy Spirit do the work. The altar is open. If He is speaking to you, please come and listen to that voice today.
Hear the Spirit calling to wake the living dead, to reach the huddled masses who cry out for living bread. Arise, O mighty army, take up thy shield and sword, for the fatherless his golden lamp beside the open door. Beyond the open door is a new and fresh anointing. Hear the Spirit calling you to go. Walk on through the door, for the Lord will go before you. Into a greater power you never known before. Beyond the open door is a new and fresh anointing. Hear the Spirit calling you to go. Walk on through the door, for the Lord will go before you. Into a greater power you never know. Where He leads me, I will follow. And where He leads me, I will follow. And where He leads me, I will follow. Into a greater power you never known before.
Up here now, before we pray, is there anyone else that wants to join this young lady as we pray a prayer? Anyone else want to join this young lady before we pray? Father, I pray over these that are up here at this altar right now, that Your holy presence will come into their lives and give them exactly what they need this moment. Give them what they need right now as they stand in awe of You, in fear of you and who you are, in reverent respect of your holy name, with their hands lifted before you. Anoint them afresh. Anoint them anew. Strengthen them inside and out. Open up doors. Open up ways. Open up paths. Bless and honor their request here today. Fill them with all they came here for. Satisfy their mouth with good things. Cover them with your wings of protection. Lead and direct and guide from this moment on. Ordain their steps for good works unto you, that you would get the glory. I pray over their lives this special prayer that your anointing will cover them from this day forward, and they will leave, God, different than they walked up here. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Church, give God a hand clap of praise this morning for the ones that are up here today. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your drawing presence and your power. Yes. Say, God honors a broken heart. God honors a broken, submissive heart. Open stay. Had some issues this morning with all that music going on there. I'm sorry. I want to thank you for your time this morning and being here. We're so glad to see George Ann back from her travels. She's been gone for about a month, and people asked about you. We're so glad, George Ann, you're back home, and hope you're feeling better. And glad to have you back in the house of God. And the young man sitting behind George Ann, if you talk to him very much or get too close to him, you'll know exactly who he is, because he looks like somebody we all know and love. This is Miss Lejeune's brother. Steve is with us today. So, Steve, great to have you, brother. He keeps telling me, and I do work out the why, don't I? You verify that. You see me working, don't you? And, he's been telling me he'll come by and see us, so I'm so glad you're with us this morning, brother. Thank you for being with us, and you're a very special friend in our lives. And we thank you for being part of our morning with us. Well, the Lord is good. Have you felt His presence here today? It's been good, hasn't it? It's always, that's what we should always want, to leave knowing we've been in the presence of God. Not just some routine thing, but just that we've been in the presence of God. And I know for some that pushes people away. You know, me and Don was sharing something before service, and he was sharing something with me he'd experienced, and kind of what I've told you I've done before. You know, once you break that Bible open, and once you try to start witnessing, people want to scatter sometimes. And Don experienced that this week, someone wanting to scatter when the Bible got opened up. And he said, they, yeah, he said, they didn't walk, they ran. I tell you, man, because we know that Word of God invokes something inside of us. And church, my prayer, I'm telling you, my prayer, you can go to a lot of churches and a lot of other places that may fit you and that you'll feel comfortable in. And but church, my job is to preach the power of the Holy Spirit and the grace of Jesus changing lives. I mean, I'm gonna stop there. I'm who I am, church. I'm just who I am. That's all I can be. I wish I could be somebody different a lot of times. I do. I envy other people sometimes, but it's where God put me and who he's got me. So you got to love me or hate me, I guess. That's the way I am. I just can't compromise the call that God's put on my life. And everyone has a different call. I mean, I could be a great motivational speaker. I could do that every week. I could be motivational. I'll give you 5 steps to great success. You know, 5 steps to breaking strongholds. I could do a series for 8 weeks long if I need to do that, like some people do. But my God, Steve's here today. You know, what if I had a message all planned from 3 months ago, and then here comes Steve walking the door? Well, he don't need to hear what I got to say. He needs to hear fresh manna, what God has to say. And so that's where I try to be. I want fresh manna for what God has to say. And sometimes it may not speak to you. If you say it don't speak to you, then I know it did speak to you, so I thank God for that. Using denial. I ain't got no problem. Oh, man. I hope you feel good today. I do want you to come back tonight. David Lee back here in the red shirt will be speaking tonight. And we're looking forward to hearing what he has to say. He'll be sharing some things in his heart. And God's kind of directing David to start sharing some things about his life with people. And so we will get him started right here in his home church. And he may launch out from here, and who knows where he may end up after here. But come back, support David. We're really excited to hear what he's got to say. There will be no food tonight, so don't come expecting to eat. Just want to let you know, it's not we have food on stuff. There will be no food tonight. Just David will be, we'll have some singing tonight like usual, and then we'll turn over to David, let him speak and share what's on his heart. And David, I want you to be obey God tonight. And you feel led, if you want to open up the altar when you get done for people to want to pray, you open that up, brother. This will be yours tonight. I want you to obey the Lord, however He leads you. But we're excited and to hear what He's got to say. So, all right. Ushers, would you please come up this morning? It is time to give of your offering to the Lord. And speaking of the offering, I do want to let the church know I don't talk about it much, and you should be very thankful. Do you have a preacher you never hear about money from? Y'all can honestly say you only ever hear me talk about money, ever, unless there's an issue or a need. And I just want to let you know that we had a very, very soft July in contributions this year. We were off about 30, 25 or 30% from last year in July. Really, really low. So I want to ask the church, the only way this church functions is through your giving. I don't have someone I can call to help me out. I don't have a millionaire buddy. You know, I don't have a magic bank account. It's up to you to support the church. And something we've always done, if you were with me like Joe Brown the whole time, you know this. And I'm not cracking on this in any way. I'm not being negative toward it. A lot of people do this. But from day one, this has been God's church. We do not do fundraisers. We do not do bake sales. We do not do yard sales to squeeze extra $100. Because you've got it. You just don't give it. Am I preaching truth? So why am I going out there and beg a community to come buy a flannel shirt for 10 cents when y'all got $10 you can put in the plate? I mean, I hear about these fundraisers. They spend all day long all this money and make $200. I mean, really? Y'all got that? Give it. You have a pastor that gives, church, and it's I know it's a private matter, but I promise you, you have a pastor that gives of his substance. I don't care what happens. My car breaks down, my tithe goes in the plate. My heater breaks down, my tithe goes in the plate. I don't care what expense rises, my tithe goes in the plate. Y'all need to see my record the past 5 years? You can see them. I'll release them to you of what I've given. I give to the God. So I'm not asking you to do anything that your pastor doesn't do. We could use a lot of reasons why we don't support the church, but it's got to function somehow. You know, our power bill in the summertime is $300-$400 a month. That's got to come from somewhere. And, you know, we do a lot of things in the church. All the things that we provide for you, the meals, the snacks, the food, the different things we do, all of that costs. Don't just, you know, the pizza man that came 2 weeks ago, when Vincent Smith came, that was the play. Yeah, the play. We ordered 30 pizzas. 30. And so we have to have money to be able to do that. The pizza man didn't come say, I own the house. Well, thank you. That was a $200 bill to provide fellowship for the church. And so I just want the church to know we do need it. I know people have been traveling. A lot of people are out right now. They're gone, different places. It's traveling time. But the church needs your support. Don't forget about it. And don't think when you're not here, you're not supposed to support it. You are. And there are some of you, and I will call you out by name because it's not right to do that. But there are some of you, you're here this morning, two or three of you that I know right now here this morning, that when you are out and you're not here, you still give your tithe. That's because your heart's right with God. And you understand truth. That we still got lives to pay whether you're here or not. Thank you, ma'am. Yeah. Yeah. So I just want to tell you, we do need your support, and we need your finance. You know, we want to keep going forward. The doc asked me this morning, said, when will we get started on expansion? I said, when people start giving. I mean, it just comes down to that, church. I'm not going to put this church in a bad shape. We're struggling to make a payment. Whenever if everybody would just do what they're supposed to do, it would be no problem. It would be no problem. Look what we did already. Paid a church off in 7 years. That's awesome. We couldn't have done that without giving. But don't stop now. Well, we got the church paid off. We won't, you know, we have a funeral here Tuesday. We'll have to cram 50 or 60 people in them halls and classrooms. It'd be so nice to have space to adequately take care of our people. But that space doesn't come free, as you know. It comes with a price. And so your pastor's looking out for the church body that we're not in trouble. We're building up. We now have about 26.5, I think, in our building fund built up. So we're just not long ago, we was at, 13,000, 14,000? You remember me saying that. We're up to 26.5. What we're doing, we're taking part of what y'all give as much as we can and transfer it out of our general fund into a building fund, which means we run a very lean general fund. Lean. I'm still amazed how God done what he's done, to be honest, over all these years with how lean we run our finances. So just ask you, we do need your support. I know it's August, people are traveling, you need vacation money, all that. I've traveled, and like Melanie says, I don't not give my tithe because I travel. My tithe goes in the plate if I travel or not. Church, there's nothing that will stop me from giving my tithe to God because I serve him. He can do a lot more with my 10% or 15% or whatever. He can do a lot more with that than I can do with all my whole check. So just trust him with it. And I just want to tell you, we do need your finance. We need the help. We need the support. If you're not giving, in a while, you stop giving, start back. We need you. We need the help. Because we do have plans and a vision, but it takes finance. So please just be understanding of that and be supportive. It all comes from you. And we trust God, and he's always made a way, and he will again. But, you know, you look at all the empty seats, and you realize, okay, these are empty seats not given today. So, you know, and church, if you got the mentality, I don't know what they're doing with my money, I'm not giving, then you need to go to another church. I'll be honest with you. You got that attitude, just go somewhere else. Because you should see what's happening here. You should see what God's done here. You should see what's happened. Lives have been changed here. You don't see me driving which I would if y'all gave it to me. Pray to God. If you bless me, I wouldn't be ashamed. You don't see me driving a gold Lexus or living on a house on a lake or wearing a bunch of gold chains. You don't see that. You know why? Because I don't have it. I'm trying to I hope I got dinner tomorrow night. Man, we raised a family. If I can just pay for dinner, praise Jesus. We've paid a church off. We paid land off. You've seen what's happened. You see things we do. So if you've been here very long and don't see that we're good with the money here, something's not right. We help people in the church. We've helped make car payments for people. We've helped make rent payments. We've helped buy groceries for people. We support other communities. Our fire department we support. Gideon's we support. Another church we support. Their building fund. Pastor Mike's church. We support them every month. Trying to help them find some land. So we're doing some good things with it. So if your attitude is, I don't know where it's going, then you don't need to be here because your heart's not right once again. So anyway, man, I was on a bandwagon today. They're going to hate me. All the sin preaching and money preaching. Whew. What? David's got it tonight, so y'all ain't got to worry about any sin preaching probably. David's got it. So, Lord, we thank you for this word of God. We ask your hand upon this offering. Bless it. And, Lord, you see the need. You see the finances that we do need. And, Lord, I pray that hearts will want to give, that they'll be charged to want to give. It's not about, Lord, it comes down to supporting it with money, not anything else. It takes the finance to keep things in the ministry going forward. And I just pray hearts will open up to give and understand how important it is they give and support this work that they're a part of. Bless it and honor it in Jesus' name. Amen.